It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Always great to be joined by my good friend and commentator, Jim Barrier.
Hi, Bob. That was a short introduction. Caught me off guard.
Well, I didn't use my opening monologue. I figured you're going to be so profound that who needs an opening monologue from me?
Well, you're confusing the word profound with loquacious.
No, don't disappoint. Okay. Don't disappoint us, Jim. We got a high bar for you.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, so I appreciate that. And there's just stuff. Some of it's hot off the presses. So, but I want to start with just celebrating President Biden's first 207 days in office. And so far, here's what he's accomplished.
It's been wonderful. Well, he's almost destroyed the country. Not quite yet, but he's getting there.
Well, you know, there was so much rhetoric before the election that in 47 years, he didn't do anything. Well, he's making up for it big time. So let me just hit a few things here. Let's start with
Except that he's still not doing anything. The people pulling his strings are doing the things.
So in the economy, in his term of 207 days so far, the producer price index measures the average changes in prices by domestic producers. That has risen 7.8% in the past 12 months, the highest in over 10 years. Consumer prices rose 5.4% in 12 months. Inflation is 5.37% compared to 1.23% a year ago. The national, you're going to love this one because I know where you live. The national average price per gallon for gasoline is $3.18, which is pretty low compared to California where you live, where it's a dollar more. It's actually $4.39 in California. Where I live in Texas, it's only $2.38. But a year ago, from $3.18 now, a year ago it was $2.18. So gas price has gone up a dollar a gallon nationally. Let's move to the border.
I was going to say, if all those things you just listed, horrible as they are, if that was all the guy had done, that's nothing compared to the border and these vaccine passports race theory. I could just go on and on.
There's more. The border. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said this: if our borders are the first line of defense, we're going to lose. This is unsustainable. 212,672 migrants were encountered at the southern border in July, 1 month. That's a 13% increase over the already massive 188,000 in June.
Oh, you know what, Jim? I honestly wouldn't worry about it. Once the Chinese take over, they'll know how to secure the border.
Well, you know, I have lobbied for years to settle the debt. The score with China is just they can have your state, California, and we'll call everything even. But I don't know that that's going to happen. They'll take the whole thing.
Well, when they have somebody like Biden running all the states, why settle for just California?
Yeah. So here we have. We have over 200,000 crossing the border just July, last month. A year ago in July, there was only 40,000. It jumped from 40,000 to 200,000. This is happening today on our abroad agenda and what the administration is doing in foreign affairs. The Taliban has taken over the presidential palace in Afghanistan, Bagram Air Base, along with an awful lot of high-tech weaponry that we left there. The Taliban now controls at least two-thirds of Afghanistan. Thousands of Afghani citizens have fled their homes, and the U.S. Embassy lowered the American flag. This has got to be a very, very dark time for this country. There are other nations that don't like us are talking about how dark this is and how depressing it is and how embarrassing it is.
Well, darn that President Trump. I'm madder than ever now because, you know, if it wasn't for Trump, we wouldn't be having any of these problems, Jim.
Yeah, it's all his fault. We know that. And in a sense, it is his fault if you want to follow this rabbit trail down the hole. If he hadn't gone and lost the election, doggone it.
Oh, you mean if he hadn't doggone it, had the election stolen from him?
Look, if they stole it fair and square.
Yes.
I start saying that the day after. Yep, Biden stole the election.
I'm telling you, you give them a year or so, and they're going to be bragging that they stole it. They're going to be wearing it as a badge of honor. Just you wait.
And they say, we did it before, and we can do it again.
They call it a lie today. They revel in it tomorrow. That's always been their pattern.
So anyway, President Joe, in just a little over 200 days, less than two-thirds of the year, that's what your administration has accomplished. And we haven't even got to the infrastructure bill, which I want to talk about tonight.
But you know what's really amazing is that with all these accomplishments, Joe doesn't even know he did anything. That makes it even more fantastic.
Well, you could tell him, but he'd forget tomorrow. Man, oh, man. I'm joking. I'm trying to be funny, but, you know, I've learned that from some comedians and people that the way you deal with pain is to use humor. It's not that funny, though. This guy's a tragedy, and what's happening to, I'm going to say this, my country.
Yeah, the unfunny part of it is he is destroying the country.
Yeah, and I didn't think he could do it so fast, but I underestimated the dark side. And as you said, you briefly alluded to it. He's really not acting alone. Someone's pulling the strings. He's not smart enough to get in this much trouble. You know, 47 years, he didn't do anything. He's just been there. You know, for years, I used to love it. You would have the Joe Biden moment. You'd play the theme from Otis.
Yeah.
From Superman.
Superman. We played the Otis theme. Yep.
Yeah. Right. Because we knew that the guy really didn't have a lot on the ball, and so all of these things that are going on, it's hard. It's impossible for me to think that there are not forces behind this. People who have an agenda, and there are people who have been vocal. There are people who want to take America down. There are people who hate America. There are elected officials in Washington, D.C., who hate America. I don't understand that. But they've been voted into office, and they badmouth this country. They talk about what a terrible place it is. And once they take complete control,
they will see to it that nobody badmouths them or their version of the country.
Yeah. So on the one hand, I don't think that Joe is totally responsible, but he is the president of the United States, and he does have a responsibility to protect this nation, to protect the Constitution, to uphold the Constitution, all of those things that he put his hand on.
I don't think he could protect a bowl of Jell-O if it was sitting in front of him.
Nevertheless, it is incumbent upon his office to protect this nation. And so in that respect, I lay full charge at his feet and say he is the one responsible for these things because he hasn't done a darn thing to stop any of it. I'm a little worked up, Bob.
I wish more people would get worked up. And I have some bad news for you, Jim, because we're talking about Joe's aptitude. And I know you're an intelligent person. You have a Master of Arts or Master of Divinity degree, don't you?
I do not have a Master of Divinity degree, but I do have a degree in theology.
Oh, okay.
So what's the bad news?
Oh, well, I was going to tell you that if you had a master's degree, it was bad news because to use the word masters in any context now is considered racist. I actually heard that.
Yeah.
You'd think I was making that up and sending it into the Babylon Bee. They're now claiming in Oregon, God. And the governor signed this thing, that to do proficiency tests in reading and writing is showing racism toward people of color. They specifically named Hispanics, African Americans, and indigenous peoples. If that isn't the most racist thing, to look at all these people, groups, and tell us that we can't give them proficiency tests because they're not up for it. And then when we talk about even degrees such as master's, or it was put actually in the context of to tell them they need to master another subject is racist because you're using the word master.
So do I can no longer refer to the place I sleep as the master bedroom?
Probably not. Probably not.
That's racist.
Well, this shouldn't surprise us. They have said that brochures that advertise homes with an ocean view are showing insensitivity to blind people. These are the times we live in.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been going on for a while, but it has reached fever pitch. And it's just absurd. And what bothers me the most is there are apparently enough people in America out there that buy into this stuff and they don't see through it. And I have friends, loved ones with lots of education, or at least they have degrees, master's degrees. Oh, I can't wait to use it. but they buy into this stuff. And I think, how can you be on the one hand so learned and on the other hand so ignorant?
Still brag about a doctorate, maybe a bachelor's, but then bachelor's sounds kind of male. You're not calling it the bachelorette's degree. So I don't know. Probably degrees of any sort will just be racist, except for those degrees that are high degrees of warmth telling us we're going through global warming. Those kinds of degrees, it'll be okay to talk about.
Oh, don't bring that up, Bob. That in my notes. And I'll go on a rant here. I think that the whole program tonight is going to be a rant.
That's all right. We could use a rant or two these days.
Oh, my goodness. So, and then there's the other, you know, concerning President Biden, to muster up as much respect as I can for the office that he holds. I have felt from the start that he would not serve 4 years. He would not finish out his term. And I still feel that way. When they get everything done that they want, they'll discard him like they have the governor of New York. We'll talk about him later. And they'll say, thanks a lot, Joe, and now we're done with you. And they'll use the 25th Amendment or whichever one it is. Or they'll just declare that he's incompetent or unable.
It'll be fine. He'll never know he was removed from office because he'll never know that he was in office. So it's not really going to matter at the end of the day. Okay, hold that thought. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. We will be right back.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
And I just wanted to add, before we move off the issue of the president, I would like to predict, just in case it's necessary, that Joe Biden did not hang himself, just in case it ever comes to that. I'll probably get a rest.
All they've got to do is tell Joe that his term is over and he'll just step down. Yeah. He will do whatever they tell him to do.
To send him back to the basement. Now,
but, you know, he was such a weak-kneed politician even before he lost his mind. He would have done whatever they told him to anyway. That's the real irony here.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, there was a president that I really did like many years ago, President Ronald Reagan. I always called him Uncle Ron because I just, you know, I always pictured him in the Uncle Sam costume with the red, white, and blue hat. Uncle Ron, Ronald Reagan, I think he was a pretty good president. I say that because I agreed with him on so many issues, and I'd read his books even before he was president. I loved his politics, his philosophy, and just his view of how things should be in America. He loved America. And there were two things that he pushed for 8 years. One was term limits, which still hasn't happened and probably won't happen now. Term limitation for all elected officials would fix an awful lot of problems, awful lot of problems. But he pushed for that, never got it. And then another thing that he asked for was line item veto. And the reason is that there is so much pork stuffed into these bills when they take them to the floor. For instance, the recent 2,700-page, $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill.
Yeah, and if people don't go along with the pork, they're going to go, well, you believe in roads and bridges, don't you? That's how they get these things passed.
Yeah, we got to read it to find out what's in it.
Exactly.
Was that Nancy? Did Nancy say that?
That was Nancy. It's like a Tootsie Roll Pop. Crunchy on the outside, and you've got to figure out what the chewy center's made out of.
Yeah. So you know about this infrastructure bill. Now, one of the people that I have just recently become familiar with is because of this thing, Missouri Representative, Republican Senator, Josh Hawley, called the infrastructure package a woke leftist bill full of left-wing politics. So he said the bill was wasteful as it allocated money for building highways in Canada. What? And supported critical race theory, one of my favorite things.
Yeah, now, here's the question. What does critical race theory have to do with building roads and bridges?
Nothing. The bill also classifies women working in the transportation industry as socially and economically disadvantaged. It states that women and racial minorities are kept out of federally assisted transportation market due to discrimination. This is all in the infrastructure package. Hawley said, I just voted no on the first installment of Joe Biden's massive left-wing agenda, no to gender identity mandates, no to the Green New Deal, no to critical race theory and its racially equity mandates, no to discriminating the energy sector.
Now, I had heard that Senator Tom Cotton got an amendment passed in the Senate that took the critical race theory stuff out of it. Had you heard that?
Well, I did not hear that, but that's just one little teeny part. That's one little thing, and it should be taken out. It shouldn't have been in there in the first place. What does that have to do with infrastructure? So all of this stuff, they just pack it with all of these things that are part of the agenda.
Well, they used to do that in the past with military spending bills because they could put in any leftist garbage they wanted. They knew that the Republicans would go along with it because no Republican wants to go home and tell their constituents that they didn't vote to support the troops. So they use these things as Trojan horses to get all this pork through.
You know, and that's probably the most troubling thing for me is that Republicans did not stand en masse and solidarity and say, we are not going to go with you on this. So many of the rhinos, we call them, just go along with the program.
Yeah, I don't care what kind of roads and bridges we have. If we put all this poison into our country, we're no longer going to be the United States of America. Same with bills that are supporting the troops. What the heck are the troops defending if we're losing all of our freedoms to give the troops money? It's insane.
Well, they're withdrawing all the troops at this moment. I'm going to go on another rabbit trail here. You got me worked up here tonight, Bob.
Back to the Taliban now.
I spent 18 years working directly, face-to-face, with homeless people in the inner city in San Antonio, Texas. And it was troubling to me week in and week out how many of the discards, social discards of our country were veterans who served this country. And they're left without benefits. They're left without care. They're just kind of kicked off the bus. And it was very troubling to me. Now, I know that there are some veterans that have survived and been able to make a life for themselves, but it's disturbing to me the number of people in the homeless population who are veterans that served this country, put their life on the line unselfishly, and have nothing or little to show for it. And that just ticks me off, Bob.
So, well, it should.
We need to do more for veterans and for the military, but it isn't happening. But we are going to, this bill is going to help build highways in Canada.
Well, that's like a few years ago. Remember, they were protesting us building a wall, but they were paying for a wall in Tunisia. I would say, what's up with that? But I already know the answer to the question. The people in power don't really care about serving their constituents. It's the people of power only care about power and only care about staying in power
and keeping their power. And you know, there's so many things like this. Okay, so you shut down the pipeline in this country, but then you approve the one in Russia. It's just some kind of double standard. And then we approve money to support abortions in foreign countries. Abortion is wrong in the first place, but why in the world are American tax dollars going to provide abortions in Mexico? I'm worked up tonight, Bob.
You'd think Democrats would have figured out that the less abortions in Mexico, the more people from Mexico can steal across the border. I guess they haven't made that psychic connection yet.
Yeah, they're not real good with that type of thinking. But nevertheless, those are the kind of things that we're spending tax dollars on that don't benefit this country at all. And in fact, in many cases, they hurt our country. And yeah, it's just frustrating. Now, let's get back to the infrastructure bill and get to where the rubber meets the road.
Very good, Jim. I get it.
I know. Well, Brandon's probably got one back.
There we go.
Okay. You might have heard about this already, but the bill would institute a multi-year national motor vehicle per mile user fee pilot program, which they already have that in some states. This proposal would test the design, acceptance, and implementation and financial sustainability of a national motor vehicle per mile user fee, or tax.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay. So this bill includes $10 million a year from 2022 to 2026.
So what, they're going to rig our cars with things that monitor our mileage and then tax us for how much we drive?
Here's how it works. This is in...
Bless their hearts.
I looked the thing up and it's just frustrating, page after page after page. And it's to try to weed through this stuff. But this is what it says. According to the language of the legislation, the scheme's objectives are to test the design, acceptance, implementation, financial sustainability of a national motor vehicle per mile user fee. I said that to address the need for additional revenue. I'm laughing because it's so ludicrous. For surface transportation infrastructure, there's the word, it actually appears in the bill, and a national motor vehicle per mile user fee.
And how many of our rhino Republicans have gone along with this slop?
Enough of them to get it passed. And to provide recommendations relating to the adoption and implementation of a national motor vehicle per mile user fee.
That'll keep us all safe. That'll keep us. Okay, Jim, hold with me. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
Listen to this customer review of Bob Siegel's novel, Choice of the Lorelei. I saw this play on which the story is based many years ago. Elements of it have stayed with me over the years as it expanded my imagination about how things might have been in ancient times. It was also very exciting to see this story intersecting with the other works by the author. Very different stories, yet linked by a common element. I can hardly wait for more. Choice of the Lorelei, available in ebook or print copies from Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Well, it's time for that coveted event on the Bob Siegel Show. Another edition of Stump, Jim, Barrier. What do you want to set up for us here, Brendan?
We are going to go back to the year 1968 on this one.
That's too much of a clue. Don't tell them what year it is.
I know last time I did that, but this time, well, to be fair, 1968 was full of great music.
Well, that's true. That was a big year for music.
Yeah. All right, so here we go, Jim. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
I know this one. I won't say it, but I know it.
Yeah. And the Shondells.
I was betting he would not get the "and Shondells" part. I definitely knew he was going to get that.
I knew it was Crimson and Clover. I didn't know the name of the band. I know I always hated that song.
You did?
I hate that.
And it was
Well, and in those days, when you're listening to the radio, they'd play the same top 10 over and over. A song that might have been just barely okay, by the time you've heard it 50 times a day, you're really sick and tired of it.
So some interesting facts about the song. Tommy James said he wanted to switch up his style of music, and he literally says that the actual meaning of the song means nothing. His favorite color is crimson, and his favorite shape is a clover, so... It means absolutely
nothing to me.
One. Yeah, and then other
Crimson and clover. Oh,
I might have something. Oh yeah, go ahead. Oh, okay. Well,
covered by Joan Jett. You know that, right?
Yep, I definitely know that one.
Joan Jett covered it, and I remember when the
she
song
couldn't
came
have covered it enough. Was it a big thick cover?
No.
Oh wow!
Where's let me get that rim shot going there again.
This song came right on the heels of another song we used in this segment some time back, Inagata Devita by the Iron Butterfly, and both of the songs had extended versions with long guitar solos and drum solos and all that kind of stuff. And so they kind of followed that pattern when they did this song. I could barely take the short version.
Well, I will say also one of the cool things for the recording of the song, it's one of the first songs to ever be recorded on a 16-track back in the day, if you remember those days of engineering and all that.
Yeah, because up to then, I mean, even all the way up to Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles, that was recorded on a 4-track machine.
And that album alone is already impressive enough, so I mean, just knowing that on top of it.
So there you go. Well, that was a good one.
It was a good guess. Lousy song. Great guess, Jim. Good job.
I'll work on the next one.
Your point is to stump Jim. You don't have to pick up good music. That's fine.
Yeah, stump Jim. Hey, why don't you do something from 1965 next time? I even like that year better than 68.
That's like the malt shop music is fading out and the doo-wop and the 60. Don't want no war, don't want no job. That's fading in.
I would also say it's like a very experimental time where we're actually transitioning into more, I don't know, protest songs psychedelic stuff.
That kind of happened in the middle of the 60s, the changing of the guard.
Well, 68 was a volatile year, of course. We had
two assassinations.
We had riots. There was just a lot of stuff going on.
Not unlike today, Jim.
It was very much like today. But what a great, great choice, great tune. Thank you so much. I always appreciate that part of the show. It's a little self-indulgent, but, we have fun with it, don't we? So we need a little break. Should we go back to the regular program now, Bob?
Sure we can.
Serious stuff.
We were just doing this to indulge you. You go back to the regular program anytime you're ready.
No, I look forward to that every time I'm on the show. It's just kind of a treat for me. So thanks, Brendan. That was great. So let's go back to the National Motor Vehicle Per Mile User Fee. Here's some possible methods that they will use. Because you're wondering, how are they going to know how many miles I drive? Well, this is in the bill. Third-party onboard diagnostic services. Think OnStar, for instance. Smartphone applications. Think Siri. For instance, this is a good one. Telemetric data collected by automakers. They want to start putting that's a tracking device is what that means. And they want to start putting those in all cars so that they can implement this strategy.
Yeah, that way if you go to a Tea Party rally or something, they know exactly where you've been.
Yeah, well, they're doing it so that they can see how many miles you drive and tax you on it.
But they also want to know where we've been and what we've been up to. They're not going to just stop. If taxing was all they did, I would hate it, but I could live with it. That's just the beginning for them. These weasels, there's nothing they will not try to do to control our lives.
Nothing. There's no limit. Okay, data obtained by car insurance companies. My insurance, I have to tell them how many miles I expect to drive each year. If it goes over that, they'll raise my premium. Data from states that received a grant under Section 6020 of the FAST Act, whatever that is. Data obtained from fueling stations, really. And this is the line. Any other method that the secretary, that would be your Pete Buttigieg right now, that the secretary considers appropriate. So how about service records from your mechanic or the car dealer where you have your car service? How about toll road checkpoints? You know, you have one of those little stickers in your window so you can drive in the toll roads. They could use that.
You know, we need to start going to some of the big business and tech companies, we need to come up with alternative companies and just say to Apple or whoever, you have lost our business if you're going to do this. There's got to be a way
It would take people with guts, first of all.
Yeah, and they are in short supply, but we do have some. Yeah, you've got guts, Jim. We'll sign you up for this.
Sign me up. Now, personally, I just have to say this for the record. I'm not comfortable allowing Pete Buttigieg any method he deems appropriate, period.
I get it. Sorry. Oh, boy. The letters are going to fly in for that one. The letters are going to fly in for that one, yep.
Oh, boy. But, you know, this is serious. They're going to do this stuff. They have now they have the authority, and they can track you how many miles you drive. And here is why. This is in the bill, in the infrastructure bill, section 13001 states that an objective will be to conduct public education and outreach to increase public awareness regarding the need for user-based alternative revenue mechanisms. In other words, there's a translation. Taxpayer dollars used to lecture drivers on why they need to pay more taxes.
Well, they really want to discourage driving in California because they know that our vehicles are our way out of the state. So they're highly motivated to keep us from driving. They know it's our escape route. You know, there's a great play called Anne of the Thousand Days. They made a movie out of it starring Richard Burton.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about the reign of King Henry VIII. And there's a place where Sir Thomas More talks to Henry's legal advisor. He says, never tell the king what he can do. Always tell the king what he should do. I found that very profound because, Jim, when people are in power, anything that they know they can do, they will do. And we're seeing it with all this COVID stuff.
Yeah, and I don't imagine, I do imagine that there are people who think, I wonder what we can get away with. How far can we push this?
And as long as nobody pushes back, there's no limit. There's no limit. So we've got to answer that question and say, no, you can't keep doing this. We are going to push back. We need enough people to do this.
Well, where is the voice? I know there's a couple of people that are out there.
Not nearly enough.
Senator Hawley.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the politicians. I think the actual populace itself needs to just push back. But see, even saying that today, you could get marked as a traitor. Heck, if they could arrest every single person that voted for Donald Trump, or at least every single person that called the election a fraud, I'll call it a fraud. Here I am, Lord, send me. It's a fraud. But if they could arrest every person saying that, they will. It's already enough to get you kicked off YouTube, but if they could throw you in jail, they will.
Yeah. They're already calling people who...
traitors, seditionists, yeah.
They're calling them, they're saying they're terrorists.
Yeah, and yet they did nothing but claim that Trump's victory was a fake and a fraud for 4 years that Trump was in office. Here it is, 6 months, 8 months out, and they're calling us seditionists for talking about it.
My, how quickly it turns. And once again, I'm just going to refer back to a book I read in high school called
Animal Farm.
George Orwell. And I'll tell you,
this was Stump Bob Siegel. What book is Jim going to say? It's going to be Animal Farm. I got it. When did I win?
I'm going to do that until every listener borrows, buys, or...
Folks, would you just go read the blasted book already so Jim doesn't have to bring it up every time he's...
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's a good time for a break. We'll be back for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
I'm Dana Wright, here to talk about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... The title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But, by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
You're listening to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Jim, we got one more segment.
I know. It just goes by so quick. Thank you for having me on the show. I like it so much, I think I'll come back next week, if that's okay.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to be in California, in San Diego, in October. I'll let you know about this in a bit, but I should be there over a Sunday, so if it works out.
Oh, great, yeah. Always happy to have you right here in the studio. Absolutely.
Oh, it's even better. It's just 10 times better being in the studio. So hopefully we'll do that, kids, in October. So, I was talking about Animal Farm, but it reminded me of a quote Christian writer Steve Turner said, "History repeats itself. It has to because no one listens."
Yeah, that is absolutely true.
All right. Page 3. Remember Paul Harvey? I used to love Paul Harvey. Page 3.
Paul Harvey. He was a classic.
Yeah, good day. Well, he was great. And we have listeners going, who's Paul Harvey? You could probably find him somewhere on the internet. All right. Andrew Cuomo, one of your favorites, my favorite people.
Oh, just one of the best, finest public servants we've ever had.
Yes, he announced his resignation. He was the governor of New York, for those of you that...
He chose to resign the way some of these politicians chose to have a noose put around their neck when they were taken out of office.
Well, yeah, because impeachment and conviction in state legislature was almost certain.
Yeah,
and
it's like the way King Louis resigned as the King of France. It's very much like that.
And the key issue here in this one, or what he would admit to, or at least use as the excuse, was the multiple accusations of sexual harassment. I say harassment, not harassment. Sexual harassment by women, some who worked right there in his office. And so he resigned, okay? Let's review his illustrious career. Let's see, in 2014, he disbanded the Ethics Commission that he set up when he was accused of interfering with its work and looking out for his political allies. You got to love these New York.
Yeah, guys. And I hear that anybody that opposes him and gets on his bad side, life becomes very unpleasant.
Yeah. In 2018, New York authorized around $1 billion to go to economic development in Buffalo, New York. The man that Cuomo picked to dole out the funds was Alan Calieros, who rigged the bidding of the construction contract to favor Cuomo. What are you kidding me? No.
An actual Buffalo the Animal could have done a better job running that state.
Yeah. Yes. Let's see. He's still under investigation by at least 4 New York district attorneys for assault and under federal investigation for an admitted cover-up of nearly 1,900 COVID deaths in New York nursing homes. That one's
tragic. And, you know, he had the gall. We joke about this a lot on this show, but he had the gall to blame that one on Donald Trump. When Trump had sent him ships to put people on, had gone in there and built beds, had sent respirators, and he had the gall to blame that on Trump. The guy's a downright... And it's a little bit frustrating because I know sexual harassment is something serious, but it's kind of ironic that it took that to take him out of office. And nobody was batting an eye that the guy was just guilty of downright homicide, really.
Yeah, it's because of the hashtag Me Too generation. So Well, we got to go along with that.
And this is the political party that says if you don't put a mask on your kindergartner when he goes to school, you and your kindergartner are a murderer. And yet their governor goes and brings infected COVID patients and puts them in an old folks' home, in a convalescent home, with the people that are the highest risk age-wise. For that, they gave him the Emmy Award because he talked about it every day. Well, he didn't talk about that, but he talked about all these other so-called wonderful things he was doing.
Yeah, well, 1,900 people died because of that. Now, the Attorney General, Letitia James, said, "Today closes a sad chapter for all of New York, but it is an important step towards justice. The ascension of our Lieutenant Governor, Kathy Hochul, will help New York enter a new day." Okay, so Hochul will become the first female governor of the state of New York.
Oh, great. So we're not allowed to criticize her then, because then we don't believe in female governors if we do that.
Sexist.
Yeah.
And in a statement, she commended Governor Cuomo for opting to leave the office. She said, "I agree with the governor's decision to step down. It is the right thing to do."
And of course, he's not going to admit to anything. It's just for the sake of the citizens of New York, for the sake of the American people, I've become a lightning rod. I just feel that in the interest of everybody, I should step down. Translation, I'm going to get the heck out of here before they impeach me.
Okay. Now, here she had a statement today. "I want to get the money out for the excluded worker program where people who are immigrants aren't getting any money because they are undocumented." Read through the lines, folks, and between the lines. And that money is sitting here unspent. In other words, we've got surplus money. We need to give it to illegal aliens.
Yeah, illegal aliens who we're letting across our border without checking them from COVID while we're meanwhile making everybody else get the vaccine and wear a mask. But if you come in illegally, free pass.
Maybe they'll hand out a mask with all that cash. But, it's just, this is ludicrous. Okay, now, he became the third consecutive New York governor to be forced out of office. Before him was David Paterson, who resigned due to a prostitution scandal. Before Paterson, Elliot Spitzer resigned due to a prostitution scandal. Cuomo said that in his mind, he never crossed the line with anyone. And he added, "I did not realize the extent to which the line has been redrawn." Which translates, hey, at least it wasn't with a hooker.
Oh, brother.
These guys are so crooked, it's just ridiculous. I'm laughing a lot, but it's a tragic thing. And now New York, we like to take a lot of pot shots at New York. I should have got a hold of it and had play New York.
Well, hey, it was once a great city until that moron de Blasio took over.
Yeah, well, there have been a lot of morons. Apparently.
Well, the mayor before him, Bloomberg, he wasn't so hot either, I must say.
Well, now, de Blasio, along with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, have all piled on now, and they're all bad-mouthing Cuomo.
Of course, because now it's fashionable. Now it's fashionable to badmouth him. Last year, when he was a rock star, nobody would bash him. We bashed him on this show.
This way they can say, see, we're fair. You know, we stand for justice. And this is the last one that I have on this thing. President Biden gave this stunning appraisal of Cuomo's performance, saying he did a hell of a job.
Yeah, oh boy.
Come on, Joe.
Yeah, says somebody else who's been accused of sexual harassment.
You know, when I hear Joe and see him, I think about that the movie Back to the Future. And Biff going, "McFly, hello, McFly."
Yeah, anybody home? Think, McFly, think.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's a mess. We've got some serious problems here, Bob. And I know I've laughed a bit and kind of made fun of things, but the truth is, it's more a tragedy than a comedy.
Well, it is. I wouldn't want these guys in charge of the dog pound, Jim, and they're running our country. It's very sad. We're down to just seconds. Last parting thoughts.
Last parting thought is always my parting thought. We need to pray after all of this stuff and my rants and everything else. Seriously, folks, pray for our country. Pray. I have always taught and believed that we get the government we deserve. This scares me. If we deserve this kind of stuff, we have done something terribly wrong. We need to pray and repent and ask God for mercy.
Well, if we don't fight back, if we don't fight back and protest, when I say fight, I don't mean get a billy club and run out in the street.
Oh, yeah.
Speak out, protest. If a restaurant won't let you in without a vaccine card, say, then you have lost my business. Even after they relax this mandate, I will never come here again. Go to the restaurants that have the guts to open up, support them. There are things we could do. All right, Jim, it's always good to have you. We will see you next week. And this is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.